The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him.
Good morning. I'll be glad when the holidays are over and we can get back to normal. I miss seeing everybody this morning. If you're with us on Facebook Live, welcome. We're glad that you're with us today, too. Steve and Chelsea's anniversary is today, and they like to take the day and go somewhere and do something. I think they're in Orlando this weekend with Cora, so he asked me to try to keep you awake today, and I know that some of you were up into the wee hours celebrating the new year. I personally went to bed at 11 last night, and even all the fireworks around us didn't wake me up, so such is life. There are cards in the chairs in front of you. There's the blue one, that's our attendance card. The gold one, if you would like to write a letter of encouragement to somebody, and we will mail that and stamp it for you this week. There's also the prayer request folder, and that goes to our shepherds so they can be in prayer with you. So we are glad you are here. We started when COVID came, lighting a candle to remind us that God is with us, that Jesus, the light of the world, is with us. And we do that this morning. Would you stand with me as we have our call to worship? And if you will, read it along with me. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them, according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not act deceitfully. And he became their savior in all their distress. He was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and mercy, it was he who redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old.
Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises. Every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love, God is love. blood has washed our sins away. His Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. How happy is our promises, our spirits cheer. God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is the fountain whence 10,000 blessings flow. To Him my life, my health and friends, and every good I owe. The comforts He affords are neither few nor small. He is the source of fresh delights, my portion and my all. He fills my heart with joy, my lips are tunes for praise, and to His glory I'll devote the remnant of my days. God, who stretched the spangled heavens from a net in time and space, flung the suns in burning radiance through the silent fields of space. We are children in Your likeness, share inventive powers with You. Great Creator, still creating, show us what we yet may do. As each far horizon beckons, may it challenge us anew. Children of creative purpose, serving others, honoring You. May our dreams prove rich with promise, each endeavor well begun. Great Creator, give us guidance till our goals and Yours are one.
You can sit down. (Clears throat) Let's pray together. O God, you are our God. Father, we come as a group of people out of the world, a world that rejects you as creator and offers up a fake purpose to life. But you are true and holy, and we gather today to worship you. Today is a milestone in the life of this church. We have the occasion to be able to look back, and we recognize your presence that's been with us in all of the struggles and crises of these past year. Father, we thank you for your presence and deliverance in those times. And Father, we look forward the things that you will do, the opportunities and challenges that you will present to us. Father, we ask your presence and your power to meet those challenges and to grow as a result. Father, I pray for your forgiveness for those occasions when we had the opportunity to be your person in this place at this time. Father, give us courage to become the people you've empowered us to be. And may that be one of the blessings of the year to come. Father, we pray for your kingdom to come, and we look forward to the glorious coming of Jesus, and pray that it be in the year to come. Father, I pray in the year to come that in some small ways, and as well and in magnificent ways, you will act in history, and that we can recognize your activities as such and give you praise. Father, I pray that you give us today the needs that we have of body and soul. Father, we recognize that there are life situations in our members that need your hand. Father, we pray for Brent Spivey, who has been struck with COVID this week, and we pray that you deliver him soon from that malady. And Father, we pray your protection on all people who came in contact with him, that they may not be struck with COVID. Father, we pray for Susanna Lumbanga and her cancer, Yvonne Tobin and her cancer, Richard Pitzer with his cancer, Al Draymond with his cancer, and Father, especially for Casey and Michaela Fry. May this be a blessed year of recovery and return to normalcy. Father, we pray that your will be done in all these things. And Father, we ask that you deliver us from evil, and that that the evil that puts up roadblocks in our lives, that you may crush and defeat on our behalf and to our deliverance. May 2023 be a year when our world repents and returns to you. Father, use us in the year to come to affect this return in repentance. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of our lives while dressed. Let's see.
Happy New Year to you. Some of you have already asked about my wife, who is always here, and Joe, I had the privilege this week of passing the kidney stone that's been threatening her for the last 2 weeks, but she woke up this morning with what she calls a swimming head, and when that happens, the best thing for her is to get in the darkest room in the house, cover her head with a blanket, and sleep it off. So that's where she is. Don't call her today. Hopefully tomorrow she'll be back to her normal self. This is an interesting time of year. It is a time of reflection. The passage that was read from Isaiah talked about reflecting on the good deeds of God. If you pick up today a Chronicle, we still get a printed paper, believe it or not, though it may go away this year, who knows. But the Chronicle today is full of reflections. What were the 10 or 20 people who were key to the world who died this last year? What were the 10 best decisions Joe Biden made? And what were the 10 worst decisions Joe Biden made, in somebody's opinion? Reflecting on the incidents of the year, what has happened? Looking back on COVID, for instance. And we act like that's over, but as Brent Spivey has reminded us this week, it's not. He went to a Christmas gathering and came home with it. We still lose 400 people a day in this country to COVID. If Delta or Southwest or somebody were to crash an airplane every single day, it would catch the headlines. But we've gotten used to COVID, so nobody worries about it anymore. Maybe we should. But we reflect on things. We look back on things. We get Christmas cards that have these nice newsy letters that are the year in review from our friends. Some are very nice reviews and pictures, and some are almost brag sheets of their trips around the world and what all they've done. But it's a way to keep up with people. You may send some of those out. You may write them. When I used to do them, I did them in February. Gave me a little more time to reflect and get away from the hectic things that's the holiday period. I have kept an electronic calendar since 1995. And I can enter something on my phone and it automatically goes to the cloud, wherever that is, and shows up on my desktop computer at home, and if I'm out with my laptop, it pops up and reminds me when that doctor's appointment is, which seems to be what I do every week now. But it's interesting to go back and look at stuff and remember names. I was looking at it this week, and on this day, January 1st, 1996, we invited over for lunch Phil and Patty Feight. Some of you say, who in the world were they? That was 26 years ago. But Phil and Patty were one of the young couples that came through and spent a couple of years with us as their early life developed and they moved on. Phil was a teacher at Westbury Christian, and Patty was the daughter of someone very special to Joe and to me, Carl Burkeen, who also married us and was a Bible professor at Abilene. And it was just neat to go back through the calendar and see their name and be reminded of the good times we had with Phil and Patty. And I still have a huge mammoth tooth that he gave me. He was a scuba diver, and he found it in the bottom of some river where he was scuba diving. And just neat things that you remember. A time of memory. That program, by the way, is entitled Time and Chaos. And it's pretty fitting for the way some of us live. When I go through that calendar, I say, well, I didn't remember that. And there's a lot of stuff that I remember that's not in the calendar, because at the time, it wasn't important enough to write down. And there are things I remember that Joe doesn't remember, and there's things that she remembers, oh, multitudes, that I don't remember. That's just the way reflection and memory is. Looking back at 2022, when did you serve Jesus lunch? Odd question. Well, if you ever served Impact and were in the kitchen with Sergeant Major Sandifer, Joe Sandifer, she told you, don't just slab it on, you're fixing the sandwich for Jesus. We've heard that for years. And it's true. Indeed, when we were feeding Impact, we were feeding Jesus. But I wonder how many times this year you fed Jesus and didn't recognize it. Let's listen to Matthew as Chuck reads us our text for the day.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me.
Thank you, Chuck. This may sound like an odd text for New Year's, but I want to focus on verse 37. When? Lord, when did we? What this says is these folks were clothing, were feeding, were welcoming, were caring for, and had no idea that it was Jesus they were doing this for. Lord, when did we see you? It's an unanticipated surprise. Out of nowhere, they have just won the Serving Jesus Award, the kingdom. And they weren't even trying. They didn't know it because they hadn't seen Jesus on the other side. This isn't a Feeding Impact Sunday, though that's a wonderful thing we do. But you see, that's organized, that's structured. It's almost coerced sometimes. We're going to do this as a church, and let's feed them. This is more the guy on the corner. You weren't thinking about it. And Jesus further clarifies this as the least of these. In other words, it's not a care between equals. It's not a, I'll take you to lunch this Sunday, you take me to lunch next Sunday, because we're good buddies. This is unequals. These are people who, by necessity, can't show the favor back. And yet it's done without thinking. It's an automatic reaction. Jesus isn't even in the process in many ways. You were just being you. Somebody needed a ride to the store, and you said, come, I'll take you. The fellows who pick up your trash, it was hot, they were sweaty. You had a big stack of it. You took them some cold water to drink. You found some great children's clothes in a garage sale that looked brand new, and you thought of somebody who could use those, and you bought it and took it to them. You found somebody who was just setting up house, and you said, I know where they can get this, that, or the other, and you provided it for them. Your neighbors in the hospital, you mowed their lawn, or you paid somebody else to do it for you. You made a batch of cookies for the newcomer who moved in down the street. You called someone who had a very significant family loss and just shared memories of that individual with them and told them how much you loved them. You missed seeing somebody at church. You gave them a phone call too. You were entering a store and you held the door for somebody, even if it meant you'd have to get behind them in the line. That's just the way you were. None of those things make your calendar. None of those things make your diary. You don't do an electronic search to the day you open the door for somebody. These aren't the caliber of adopting a baby. But they are service to Jesus anyway. These are those when did I moments that bring a smile to God's face. Jesus says, you held that door for me. You called me. Yeah, you have Jesus' phone number. It's just disguised as somebody else. It was Jesus' lawn you mowed. You served Jesus. The preacher in the book of Hebrews told his congregation the same thing when he wrote in Hebrews 13, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that you have entertained angels without knowing it. He doesn't tell us what event he's thinking of as he preaches that sermon. It could have been Abraham and Sarah out by the oaks of Mamre. And remember, they saw the three strangers coming over the hill? Didn't know who they were, three strangers. They compelled them to stay, and they killed the fatted calf and threw a big meal in their honor. One of those strangers said, "I'm going to come back next year and you're going to have a son." That was a shocker for them. But they welcomed the strangers, the angel, unaware. Similar stories told of his nephew Lot at Sodom, where two strangers came to town and they were so afraid they would be assaulted by the community that they invited them into their home and offered extremes when trying to protect them. The preacher's point is well taken. When you meet a stranger, you don't know who they are. You don't know what really they're about. And kindness to them is kindness to Jesus. This is getting into ancient history now, but in 1969, between my junior and senior years at Abilene Christian, I spent the summer in England. I had been over there the summer before. I knew a lot of the people. I purchased a Honda 250, which was a motorbike. I never recommend a motorbike to anybody based on that experience, but I had that, and I went to various places on weekends and preached and helped with camps and things like that. And I had been up to the very north of Scotland, Buckie, Scotland, on the North Sea. Buckie, Findochty, Portmadoc, beautiful little fishing villages right on the edge of the sea where the sun almost never sets in the summer. They have their preaching meeting on Saturday night, because the fishermen all come in Saturday morning and they sell their catches, and Saturday night the church has this big social meeting and preach the gospel and eat together. Sunday morning they broke bread and the fishermen all went back to their boats and headed back to the sea. Monday morning I got up on my motorbike. It was raining, of course. It was Britain. The wind was blowing a gale, of course, it was the North Sea. And I was riding around, I think it was Loch Lomond, in this pouring rain, and the bike slid out from under me. And it took the elbow out of my army surplus jacket, and took the knee out of my jeans, left me just kind of energy-less. I stopped a car to help me get the bike back up because it was too heavy for me to pick up by myself. And I got back on it and kept going. Or anything else to do. I was headed back to Loughborough in the Midlands, and it was a long way to go. I stopped for the night at a bed and breakfast place. Now, I need to define that to you, because we're so used to Airbnb today, and there's no resemblance whatsoever. Back in the 60s, you had lots of old row houses in Britain. And they usually had a couple of bedrooms upstairs and a bathroom. And when all the kids were gone, mom and dad, frequently old age pensioners, as we would call them, that was a technical name, they would hang a sign out in front of the front door that said bed and breakfast. And if it was vacant, you could go up to the door and ask if you could stay for the night. It was a way for them to supplement their pension. And so I found a place and went and knocked on the door, and this little lady came out and looked at me. And I was wet from top to bottom, and my jacket was ripped, a little bloody. My knee was a little bloody. She could tell right away I was American. All I had to do was say, "Hello." She let me in. I went to the bathroom, took a bath, put on dry clothes, went back to the bedroom, sat there in a chair reading my Bible. A knock came on the door. She was bringing me a cup of tea. She opened the door and looked at me sitting in that chair reading the Bible and said, "Entertaining angels unaware." I laughed. She laughed. But the point was well taken. She served Jesus that night because she let this wet rat in her house, knowing he was sleeping in the bedroom next door. And I had a great breakfast the next morning. How do these things happen? How do we have those instinctive responses of kindness and goodness? They don't come out of a to-do list. And that's one thing about Matthew 25 I want to mention, because I think we've used Matthew 25 as a checklist. You want to go to heaven? Well, you need to feed the hungry. 3 points if it's a church member, 10 points if it's a stranger, 5 points if you make a hospital visit, 200 points and you're in. No. This passage doesn't say, do this intentionally to achieve. It says, when did we? We were doing this and didn't recognize it. We had become so much like Jesus in ourselves that we were giving the Jesus response automatically. And I think that should be the goal of all of us. I remember back in college days again, I used to have a weekly Bible study with a fellow named John Allen Chalk. And John said, I read a gospel through every week. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Next month, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In addition to other Bible study. But he said, I want to be so much like Jesus that I have to constantly remind myself how Jesus would respond. A few years ago, we said, what would Jesus do? That became a catchword, but frequently it was accompanied by ignorance because we didn't know what Jesus did. John's emphasis to us as young ministers was, become like Jesus. Know instinctively how Jesus would respond. This week I got a checkup. I hope you get an annual checkup. I didn't feel bad. Nothing I needed to get fixed that I knew of. But that's why I get an annual checkup. They did the urinalysis, they did the blood work, they did the EKG, the chest x-ray. They're looking for stuff I'm unaware of so that we'll know how to treat the stuff I am unaware of and live longer. Matthew 25 makes a good annual checkup. Think back over the year. When have you fed any hungry folks or given any cups of cold water? When have you welcomed a stranger or given clothes to a needy person? What have you done for sick folks or imprisoned folks? Is it natural for you to think that way? Is it an automatic response? The person who received your care was Jesus, you know. You didn't know it was Jesus. You just didn't recognize it is Jesus. But Jesus recognized you.
Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams, in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me?
I'm so thankful that this church takes communion, the Lord's Supper, seriously and makes time for it every week. To me, it's very special that we serve one another and that we feel the freedom to speak to one another, to give encouragement to one another, to bless one another, and to remember how blessed we are by the Lord. It is a great equalizing meal. Regardless of age and life situation, we eat and drink together as a family in true communion. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done to bless us and bring us to this new year. Thank you for those who are sitting by us and sharing life with us. Together, we renew our commitment to be your people as we eat and drink this morning. This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. May we feed our spirits today. Amen. If I could have a couple of helpers.
Now's the time that we share the offering together, if you'd pray with me. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us, for blessing us. Thank you for letting us share in the work that goes on at this place. In your Son's name, amen. We have some family matters to share. Try that again.
This is a video from Matt Ford, who's deployed, and he doesn't look the same.
He doesn't look the same.
Because the Army gets a hold of you. But he sent us a greeting, and I don't know if they can make it come over the sound system or not.
I figured you didn't know. Well, I knew my church family is reading this. It is now December 22nd. I know it's been a minute since I've been making a video, but I have been quite busy. If I sound a little bit weird, I am getting over a cold during this Christmas week, but hopefully it will go away soon. So I just wanted to read you a couple of Bible verses. Since I've been making a video, but I have been quite busy. If I sound a little bit weird, I am getting over a cold during this Christmas week, but hopefully it will go away soon. So I just wanted to read you a couple of Bible verses for this upcoming Christmas year and this new year that is coming up. The first one I will be reading is for Christmas. It comes from James chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. So my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and every beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crowns of all his creatures. Again, we all talk about the material things of what we want for Christmas, makeup, toys, a new car, you know, just a bunch of different things. But the true gift that God has given us is his life. He made us to be for a reason, regardless of what, you know, the devil may say or what others may say. His true gift is the light and the love and the life-giving power of the word that he made through us. Amen. The next Bible verse will be from Isaiah 43, and it will be part of verses 16 through 21. It's a short one. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert. Again, it goes back to what we always think about with New Year's and, you know, what we've gone through in this year, whether it's bad or good, whether we want to forget about it. God never wants us to look backwards at the things we were. He always wants us to look forward to what we will become, because he all has a greater purpose for everybody. I'm a true believer of that, and I hope all of y'all are too. Those are the two Bible verses I'll be reading. Again, if you guys get this video late, Merry Christmas. If you get it now, Merry Christmas. If you get it later, Happy New Year's. I miss all of y'all. Thank y'all for the letters and all the treats. I really appreciate it. And it's just been very busy and a very long deployment. I have a lot of stories to tell y'all when I get back. I've gone through quite a bit of a spiritual journey and a spiritual soul searching throughout these last 6 months that I've been overseas. And I've still got another 3.5 months before I get back home. I hope y'all are doing well. I love every single one of y'all. Please keep the letters coming. Please keep the goodies coming if you can. Even if it's just letters, it really does help, boost my morale and keep my head up and keep going while, you know, I'm still here. But that's all I wanted to do and say. Again, I hope you're all doing well. Stay blessed, church family. Again, I love every single one of y'all. And never lose sight of what God has for you and what his son has for you. Take care.
We've got the Wednesday night prayer meeting here in the lobby at 7. And there are no Bible classes today.
Brian's a man of few words. Well, may 2023 be a year that helps us all see Jesus and be Jesus. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Go in peace.